how many bands performing today do you believe embrace the Two Door Cinema Club ethos?
37.
Hiya, are you surprised at your level of success, considering...
Sunday morning, the 31st of July. It is apparently the last day of Blog Talk Radio. Maybe put some of the technology challenges behind us right here on East Lake Sports, round 198. We are airing on the Subscriber Media Network. I believe that's going to be changing as well, to some degree anyway. You can get my partner, Andrew Marchetti, on Twitter. That's at ArchieMoses24. You can get myself, Craig Goldberger, on Twitter at 4_TheGolden1. That's the number 4 in the front and number 1 in the back. And you can be sure to check us out on our East Lake Sports Facebook fan page. Hit the old like button. If you'd like to join our conversation at any time, give us a call at 657-383-1442. You can get us at toward the end of the show. Hang with us. We'll be doing our Players of the Week as we do each and every week. And we're definitely going to get the show started with a little bit of PGA talk, a little bit of UFC talk. I know those go like peas in a pod, but that's kind of the biggest news out there at the moment, and a lot of big activity yesterday. And without further ado, I'm going to bring my partner, Andrew Marchetti, on here to have a little conversation.
I hate to correct you so early in our show, but the biggest news is not either of those things that you mentioned. It's the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick is now back under the helm for the New York Jets, baby.
I don't even know what to do with this anymore.
Good morning, buddy. How are you today?
Brain is swelling from technological information. Outside of that, I think we're okay. it's an interesting time of year. You know, basically have a whole bunch of baseball going on, and if it's not baseball, it's whatever else we can grasp at straws to get. And, you know, right now, like I said, it's PGA, UFC. Got a little Rio to discuss today. There's a lot of news actually out of NFL because that's kicking up it's kicking up now, but technically in about a month or so. But so I got a lot on baseball today, Drew. There's a lot of baseball trading activity and otherwise to report. And, let's get this going. I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we got to say goodbye to anyone today. I'm sure there's plenty, but not that we need to go through. And if I'm wrong on that, please interject. But
when you said that, I was just thinking, I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, he's right.
A miracle. I mean, I feel like I know that there's a couple of things that happened, like a kid at maybe Texas A&M or something, like something happened at one of these schools and someone passed away. I think it was like some sort of a shooting or something or other, but don't have enough information, and it's not Prince. I know that.
Rest
in peace, Prince. So, you know, actually, this is totally off topic before we get into the sports stuff. Just a random thing. You watch the Comedy Central roast?
Yes, I usually do.
they had starting, I guess, maybe Thursday night. There was, I guess they did it last year in Canada, and it wasn't broadcast in the U.S., but the same guy who does all those roasts, Jeff Ross, has, they're doing like a roast challenge, and it's set up like a tournament. And there was six people to start, and then it went down to eight. And then last night it went down to – actually, I think last night it went down to eight. So maybe there's 32. It went down to eight last night, and then that was the quarterfinals. And then tonight, I believe, is the semifinals and the finals. And some of the comedians you would recognize in the competition and some you probably wouldn't. And I say if you would recognize them, if you actually follow any sort of stand-up sort of people, or Comedy Central, something like that. It is absolutely hilarious. I honestly, I don't know that I've ever laughed so hard in my whole life. And one of the jokes, which is why where this whole thought just came from, was that you smell like Prince does. It was a royalty joke. I forget what the reason was, but it was a royal, like royal, like crown, royal throne. And it was like, you smell so bad, like Prince smells better than you now or something like that. And I was just like, oh, that is such a raunchy joke. But anyway, it is phenomenal. And the finals are on tonight. So if you want a laugh for an hour or so, turn that on.
I'm actually looking through my channel guide now to see what's. I just seen it now in the channel guide, so I'm setting it up.
I think it's on like 10 o'clock tonight or something like that.
Yep.
Either 10 or 11. But anyhow, so I don't know why I needed to had the need to discuss that one. But regardless, we do have some sports to talk today. I don't know if I consider golf a sport. I still consider it a game. Call it a game.
No.
But I know you're the enthusiast. So where do we stand going into the last day of the last major of the year?
Well, unfortunately, there is not much to report because only two rounds were played yesterday, being pretty much postponed because of the weather. As you can see, obviously, looking out your window this morning, it's been raining in New York and Jersey, obviously, for the last few days. So most of these guys have been teeing off, starting to tee off around 7:40 this morning to get that third round in and then obviously the fourth round. But I just don't know how much the weather's going to hold up. We may be actually having a Monday finish, depending on how bad it gets or, you know, if it winds up passing over. But your leaders right now are Jimmy Walker and Robert Streb, both at minus nine. But like I said, it's only after two rounds, so we don't have like an official score.
So let me ask you, when I was watching yesterday, was that repeats or was it guys finishing their second round?
It was mostly guys watching repeats, excuse me.
So do we
live
actually
coverage.
Have going into the final round or is it entirely going to be the third round today? I actually really had absolutely no idea that was happening.
Yeah, depending on the weather, I'm sure that they're trying to get both rounds and play 36. But my book, they're going to try to play 36. But like I said, it's supposed to rain all day here, so I'm assuming it's the same thing down there. Maybe just get the third round and have the fourth final round tomorrow. We'll have to see how it goes with the weather, though. That's the one thing that's unpredictable, obviously. It's in Jersey, yeah. Out to show golf course in Jersey.
Okay. So tell me what we've seen so far outside of the fact, and maybe you want to chime in on this, but I know Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy didn't make the cut, correct?
Yep.
And I
Jordan
know
Jordan Spieth did that. Minus three for Jordan Spieth.
So tell me what.
So far, I mean, we had another round of a 63, second round, Robert Streb, matched his lowest round ever at a major. And the last three majors now that somebody has shot at 63, flirting with that all-time record of a 62, which is ridiculous. But like I said, it's not much surprises, like besides just the guys missing the cut. Jason Day's up there, Jordan Spieth still in there. Mickelson finished up, they're getting seven of red numbers, still a few shots back, so it's tough to get a gauge on who's really going to make it out of this just because of the weather itself. And they're calling 30-50% chance of rain throughout the day today. So, you know, it's going to be tough to get 36 in, but they're going to do the best they can, obviously. So we'll have more we'll know more of an idea. Is it tough what?
Isn't it tough to get 36 in, like literally get it in on any day? That seems like entirely too much golf for one day.
Yeah, but when you have guys cut already, it kind of cuts the field in half, so it's a better chance of getting 36 in. If it was, you know, the second day of the tournament and the cut didn't happen yet, it'd be real difficult to get 36 in with all the players that are still there. So a little bit more better of a chance now with the cut. But like I said, with, you know, almost 50% chance of rain, if thunderstorms start happening, they blow that horn again, you know, we might not even get to a third round. It just depends on Mother Nature today, to be honest with you. And you know how
okay.
She could be.
Yeah, I mean, Mother Nature's looking pretty interesting over here. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, who's caught your eye? Besides, I mean, I suppose the obvious. You got Jason Day and Jordan Spieth running amok over there. Who else is standing out? And maybe you want to have give a couple words about Mr. Day, the number one player in the world.
For me, it's been our champ from a week ago, the Open Championship in Henrik Stenson, putting up back-to-back 67, and sitting at minus seven, only two shots off the lead. So pretty impressive to be able to, after you win your first major, like he did last week, 2 weeks ago, and to hold that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I just totally drew a brain blank right there. But to have that that consistency still in another major tournament in almost back-to-back weeks, that takes a lot to be able to do something like that, especially, you know, sure, you celebrated a little bit and hung out for a while and you don't get all your regular practice regimen in. You're doing a ton of interviews after you win a major championship. You're being pulled every which way, so it's tough to, you know, just get back and focus and concentrate, not only on a golf tournament, but on a major golf tournament following something like that. So that's been pretty impressive so far to see him up there.
Let me ask you just generally about Jason Day. How impressed are you just about the way this guy has kind of climbed the ladder in the golf world? And it seems to be kind of implanted up at the top. I know he's at number one, and I know that these other guys, some of these guys are close, but I can't see him even coming out of the first, you know, the top few at the rate he's going. I guess here's another question. Maybe here's a better question. How long does someone need to even if they're not winning tournaments, but they're just doing really well in a whole lot of tournaments, that he would remain there for a while, almost like building such a resume so strong that even a bad tournament or two couldn't take him out from the top?
That's a good question. I mean, it's all about the self-confidence. I mean, golf is such a ridiculously mental game. A perfect example, look at Dustin Johnson. I mean, he flirted so many times, so close, had a couple of gaps with the scorecard issue, and he had his own personal issues and whatnot, but he was always around top five, top ten in a lot of these tournaments, and he finally put together this year to win his first major. So it's always just about really just being consistent. And the more you win, even finishing, you know, top three, top four in a great tournament, that gives you that confidence going into majors week. And that's why we've had so many first-time major winners in the last 5 years or so at the all these tournaments. It's just all about confidence and who's coming in hot at the right time. There's no more dominance like a Tiger Woods that's in there where everyone who goes into a tournament realizes they're playing for second place. I mean, those days are pretty much gone from us now. So it's nice to have an array of different guys because it is still so talented with all these young guys in the sport. It's nice to see different guys win all the time. So it's definitely a credit to your mental makeup. That'd be the best way I can answer that.
Okay. What about Spieth? He's had a little bit of a rough go so far this season, a little bit. I shouldn't say it that way. So a rough go in terms of fulfilling the expectations he set for himself last year, albeit still playing very well, just not winning necessarily. And I have a stat I want to throw at you in a second, too, regarding that. But what are you seeing about the resurgence of Mr. Spieth today or over the weekend?
You know, it was only a matter of time. Didn't win anything yet. I think he had a lot of pressure on himself. I think self-made also, not just from the golf community and whatnot, from what he did last year. It's very hard to duplicate, you know, the kind of season that he had last year, unless you're Tiger Woods or during that 8-year stretch. But that's, again, that's something that we don't normally see. So, you know, he's still only 22 years old. learning how to cope with a lot of this stuff and a lot of the pressures and whatnot. So his game is right there. So you definitely would be a matter of time before you start seeing him put together a couple of good rounds and then see where you are on the final day. And that's exactly what he's doing right now. In his first two rounds, opened up with a 70 and then shot 67 in the second round, set him up at minus three, which is good positioning. I know it's six shots back, but that ain't the end of the world right there. So he's got a pretty good shot as well, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, six shots back in a tournament that's playing at low scores such as what we're having. I don't know how that goes when you're going backwards. If it's a high score, low score, you know what I mean. When you're getting near negative minus 20, six strokes doesn't seem as much as when you're in a tournament where the leader's at minus two.
Right, right. And also, it's the fact that there's still two more rounds left and the weather as well, too. So it just opens up the door. It doesn't matter what kind of lead you have. Anything can happen when you have these kind of conditions. And obviously, a bunch of guys, you know, within a few shots of the lead. So it's going to make for a good final two rounds. A sloppy, but good final two rounds it should be.
So I'm looking at a little text pick I took on my phone when I was watching. I like to, when I see a statistic that kind of strikes me, that's the only way I can retain it, is that I write it down. And Spieth, you know, I think it could be misleading when we say, you know, or anyone says that he's having not as good of a year as he did last year because he's not winning. If you're basing it on quality, he's probably having a better season, the statistic, and again, I don't know that there's anyone in the realm, otherwise I don't know why they wouldn't throw it up on the same statistic, but the single season record for the PGA in majors, so you got your four tournaments, what's the score, the collective aggregate score of those four tournaments? The single-season record was established by none other than Mr. Eldrick Woods in the year 2000 at minus 53.
Damn.
And I don't know what point this was, when you know, relative to the rain and all that stuff, but at some point in the last day or so, it clicked on Jordan Spieth. He's currently, currently relative to when this was, he's probably pretty close at this point, given we only really played two rounds. But he's currently at minus 54 for the season in majors. Like, he hasn't won.
That's a pretty good stat. That's a pretty good stat, actually. Yeah, and he hasn't won.
I was very shocked to see, say, his name in some sort of statistic like this and not say Jason Day. Jason Day's been pretty good in all the majors so far, hasn't he, this year?
And very, he's been very consistent. Last year.
So I suppose I know he's not necessarily winning, but he is. I wonder if someone thinks that was a drop. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
But at minus 54 for the majors, that's pretty indicative of someone who isn't really, he really hasn't dropped off. He just hasn't won. Right? I think that's the almighty difference.
Yeah, and it just bleeds consistency right there as well, too. So that's one of the most impressive parts about it all. At his age, to be so consistent the way he is, granted, the majors may not have been there this year, but just to have that kind of score, to hear that stat, that's like eye-opening, because you remember with Tiger back in, especially in those early 2000s, that was post the Pebble Beach win where he won by 15 strokes. A year prior to him winning that U.S. Open at Bethpage, late on final day. So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty impressive number.
Now, let me ask you, going into this last round and a half, or two rounds, or whatever it is for all these guys, what are you looking for, or what way may have missed on the tournament that might be noteworthy?
Looking to hopefully get both final rounds in today, the third and fourth round, so we can crown a major championship and not have it wrap over. You know, we got the Olympics coming up, or some of these guys are going to be participating in. It is Ryder Cup year, so the FedEx standing points definitely mean a lot as far as finishing. So a lot of guys got to be you know, hold court or make some move up, obviously. But the way it sits right now, like I said, I'm pretty impressed with Henrik Stenson, and also, like I said, Jason Day is right there too. So it's really going to come down to conditions, because it's just going to make a huge difference today. Even with a light rain all day, you know, that club grip is a little bit wet. You don't have such a firm hold on it. The putting surface is going to be ridiculously hard to read. So, you know, you could see a lot of these shots drop back. Like I had said, for the Open Championship, I doubt that a double-digit, you know, under par scope is going to win. Maybe eat my words, double that, went to minus 20. So I kind of feel the same way today. I mean, you know, if it is with the weather so inclement the way it's predicted to be, see a lot of these shots, and maybe the winner being around minus 6, minus 5, can't see much birdies out there for these next 2 days, but also the next day, actually.
Where's Stenson at, Drew?
Stenson's at minus 7. He's only 2 shots back right now. He's sitting in third place by himself.
Okay, no, but I had seen at some, I guess maybe after the first round, that he was playing well again, almost like he was just carrying it over.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's pretty impressive to do that. Let's see, is he out there today? Yeah, he's at minus 1 today already, Stenson. He's on the second hole, I believe. So, yeah, so guys, the drove of guys are starting to get out there and tee off right now. And earlier is better, I guess, because the rain is predicted to come later on in the morning, early afternoon. So some of these guys can at least get their third round in, post a pretty good score, and you know, just say the luxury of having the skies open up. And they have to go to tomorrow. At least they don't have to worry about dealing with the conditions today. So trying to get this third round in ASAP.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that would be what they're going to try and do. Like I said, I can't even imagine. I haven't played so much golf in my life, but I know that 9 holes takes up a few hours. 18 holes takes up a bunch of hours. 36 hours, my hands are going to be bleeding. I'm going to want to throw my clubs.
Yeah, but for a golf fan, especially if we have the weather we do today, sit home, I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
Watching and playing, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about playing. Watching is an entirely separate issue. Watching, you know, as strange as it is, golf can actually have some drama to it. It's actually kind of, I almost feel like it's better than watching it play. Man. So, with all that, I don't have anything left here on that tournament, so if you do, by all means, speak now, forever hold your peace. We got to move on.
Yeah, no, just to reiterate something, man, you just said it perfectly, how there is drama in golf, and it's funny because for, you know, an 8 to 10 year period, there wasn't much drama when you had somebody like Tiger Woods dominating, and you see all these different guys up there on the leaderboards and winning. It just goes to show you that the youth in golf with these young superstars, the sport is in very good shape. It doesn't have, you know, that main superstar like Tiger anymore, but there's still plenty of guys in there that make household names. So it's in very good shape.
By the way, we totally got off the intro. I never even said who the music was at the beginning. That was Changing of the Seasons by Two Door Cinema Club, which I thought was apropos because of the change of server and all this other stuff. But just to make sure we give that props. This will be it for the season. I know there's a couple other big tournaments, I think, still after this, but obviously this will wrap up the major season. Where does Rory sit now? I know he's out of this tournament, but what's his rank? Is it like 4 or 5 now? Is he still up behind Day?
I have to see that. For the FedEx points, for the FedEx Cup itself, Rory is not even in the top 10 over there. Yeah, he's had a pretty tough season, man. I don't know where his mentality is going, but he seems to be getting angrier and just showing more emotions on the golf course. We never used to do that, where things like, you know, if he hits a bad shot or something, throwing a club down or just hearing, you know, his frustrations is so untypical of him. He's probably going through a little bit of something here. He's still way too talented to be put down for too long. And I believe he's going to be, I'm sure he will be in the Ryder Cup. Looking to see you got to separate it from United States plays to, you know, European plays, and there's not an option for that right now, just given the whole standing itself and who sits where. Because it is the top 10 guys, the top 8 guys in the FedEx Cup points will get qualified for the Ryder Cup, and obviously the captain's pick and stuff like that afterwards. So 10-man team.
And it's funny you said that. It's funny you said that he seems to be angry. That is really, really how I see it. Every time I see him speak, he's become much more of an adult than he once was. I think he's gotten frustrated with being in the limelight. I think his acclimation to being a public figure hasn't been as great, because I feel like he was way more likable when he started.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's easier when you're winning, you know, to be able to handle all that. When you're losing, you get asked tough questions over and over again, and, you know, what's wrong with this? Why is your swing this way? You know what I mean? That's got to, that frustration definitely have to build up. So it's a boiling point, and you just let loose like you never usually do. That's exactly what we're seeing right now at Rory. And surprisingly so, I didn't think he was made up like that. I thought he was more, you know, less fragile to have that stuff deal with him and affect him so much.
I do have one more for you in the golf world. I am curious on your thoughts on how excited or not excited you may be and who you're looking for, because I know a lot of guys won't even be playing, but regarding the Olympics competition that's coming up in a few weeks, or not even a few weeks. I think it starts next week.
Yeah, I believe it is next week for the opening ceremony. So I'm just psyched that it's finally back in the Olympic sports itself, you know, for the first time since the early 1900s or whatnot. And, you know, forgive me because off the top of my head, trying to think of who's going, all the names, it's just, you know, because everyone's was canceling out because of the Zika virus. And look what happens. Now we have it back here in this country, but it has been reported cases in Florida and in Suffolk County itself of the Zika virus. So it was only a matter of time. Now it really doesn't give guys an excuse. It's kind of like, well, it's already here, so you might as well just go over there and just play. But most of these guys already made their decisions public. But like I said, I'm just psyched itself that sport is back in the Olympics. It's just going to be a lot of fun to see that competition and the camaraderie and how it's set up for an Olympic style instead of like a major tournament. So it's going to bring a lot of excitement, I believe.
Who's actually still in it that's worth mentioning?
That's a great question. I don't even know off the top of my head. That's why I said I wasn't even sure. And I was trying to pull it up quick, but then I had to talk, and I can't talk and type at the same time. I had the same technological issues as you do, so I'm okay admitting that.
I'm glad you are. Well, let's start from the top. We know Rory's out. We know Day's out. We know Spieth is out. Is Dustin Johnson out?
I believe Johnson is out, too, yes. He's definitely out, Johnson. I think Fowler's in, Bubba's in.
I'm remembering.
I know those two. What's his name? See, this is what happens. It makes you sound stupid. So, those two.
How about Svensson?
Svensson, I'm not sure on the European side over there. Some of those guys who's in, who's not. Trent. Who are the other international players? I know Adam Scott was out. A lot of the big household names that you would think of in golf and from the European side, a lot of those guys have already said that they weren't going to be in there. So it's a lot tougher to figure out from that. I know Danny Willett's actually in it. He's your Masters champion from this year. So it's not like there's not going to be any no names there. There's going to be names, just not the superstar of names that you would see, you know, on a Sunday of a tournament going for competition.
Let me ask you something. If you win an Olympic gold medal and there's no one playing in the tournament that matters, did you really win a gold medal?
Yeah. You still beat the other competition that was out there. Just because they're not household names doesn't mean they're quality players.
So let's talk through this, right? So you're a professional golfer.
Okay.
You go and you win the gold. 20 or 30 years from now, we're sitting on the porch, smoking a stogie, having a brewski, and we're talking about, do you remember when you won the gold? Who played in that tournament with you?
It's not going to matter. No. To me, that wouldn't matter.
Oh, the top 10 guys in the world didn't play? Oh, okay. Awesome. So you won the bronze.
Nah, I mean, it doesn't matter. You still have to go out there and do what you have to do. I know where you're getting at, but it shouldn't make a difference. You still have to go out there and compete, period, especially in golf where you're not really playing the other guy. You're playing the course in a lot of situations. So, you know, it's how you handle playing that course, how you're putting that day, how you're hitting your irons, not so much what the guy next to you or chasing you is doing. You make a very valid point, but it's still, you still have to go out there and do it. So that's why it still means something.
Well, let's be clear. I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything. What I'm saying is it really the equivalent of something as prestigious as a gold medal in the Olympics? I mean, again, and you're right also, because you do have to play against the competition. However, if the competition isn't truly the best, what is that competition actually worth?
That's why I said, factoring in the course, playing the course and everything like that, and your own mental makeup, you know, going through the rounds itself, it still is a good accomplishment, a good feat. It's kind of like you saying that if Michael Phelps wasn't in swimming and everybody else is winning, does it really count because he's the best swimmer in the world and he didn't compete? Is that what I'm kind of understanding?
Yes. However, this isn't just Michael Phelps. In your case, it's like Michael Phelps and every other great swimmer that's currently active.
When you put it like that.
You're saying one guy. I'm saying we got a whole handful of them. Probably more.
It's true. That's true. It's still...
It would make for good conversation, but it's not. It's all of them.
Yeah, but it still doesn't take away the fact that if you do wind up winning, you know, that gold medal, you can't take that away from you. No matter what the competition was at, you can only control what you control. You can't control who's going to show up or whatever. It's hard enough to try to control yourself on a golf course with those kind of pressures, especially for your country where these guys take it very seriously, and rightfully so. I mean, there's a sense of pride in playing for your country. No matter who else is playing and what the competition is, it's still an incredible accomplishment. And you should still feel good about it in 20, 30 years sitting on a porch. I don't think anybody's going to care who was in it. You just remember who won the gold. At least that's how I see it.
I don't know. That's a tricky situation.
Tricky.
But while we're talking about, and all these people who aren't for you, and all these people who aren't going to be playing, let's talk about why they're not going to be playing, shall we?
Sure.
We definitely discussed this a few times going back to when Greeny was losing his mind about all these people who were acting like things really ridiculously wrong in Rio. And then a couple of weeks ago, we were on the show and we were talking about body parts rolling up on shore of the volleyball court, which is certainly unique and unusual. But let's talk about that toxic water, shall we?
Don't drink the water.
Yes, I mean, seriously, that's funny because you were just saying that to your niece fairly recently. That was pretty funny. That may even be a relatable subject matter. The water is toxic, right? So we know that. So that's a problem in of itself, you know, with the whole Zika and just the water being its own problem, probably from a whole lot of bacteria, among other things, creating massive toxicity. So,
yep.
The number I can't get around this number, which is why I feel the need to discuss this again. But I just heard this like a day or so ago. The water in Rio has toxic waste flowing into it from other places, right? So this is just it's a big messy situation. That water is more than, let me say this another way. If you dropped it down 175%, it would still be toxic.
Damn.
So, meaning, they say it's 175% more than toxic, right? So, and I don't know that people out there are swallowing this number. And I don't mean just from our show. I mean from hearing it elsewhere. So I'm going to try and break this down here, right? So we're talking about, let's say toxic is at 100%.
Okay.
This water is 275% toxic.
How does that happen?
That's a good question.
That seems like an astronomical percentage, you know, for clean flowing water and for animals to live in, you know, for fishing communities over there and stuff like that. It's like, how does that happen?
It's not clean flowing water over there. They're... Brazil is not third world, right? They're definitely a developed country, but there are antiquated or outdated means of running your economy. I'm not even sure if that's the right way to say it, but yes, I'm sure you know what I mean by that. And so this number, what fascinates me is we're not talking about water that's just toxic. We're talking about water that's over the level of toxic by 175%. That is, so that's part of, or the main reason people aren't going there. But to the athletes who are going there, like the swimmers or the people who do, like, the things in, like, the canoes and these triathlons or whatever in the water. I don't even know what the name of those events are. I can't think of. But there are events that are actually not in the pool, actually in the actual water, and I think it's an issue in both. But how do you do that? How do you actually take your body and put it in something that's this toxic and or drink anything resembling water while you're down there as an athlete who needs water to compete, to thrive? It's just fascinating to me that any of this is even happening.
And, you know, all the excuses I've heard has all been the Zika virus. I haven't heard people saying we're not going because of the quality of the water or this and that. That's not the case at all, but that's pretty alarming to have that high of a percentage, especially when you have Olympics coming where there's plenty of events that are going to take place in that water itself. I mean, how do you justify it? That's just horribly disgusting, dude. You want to talk about the Zika virus? What kind of diseases are you going to be coming back from that water itself? Think about that.
Like
the bacteria
I
and everything
we were
in there?
Where we were the athletes going there to compete? And, like, that would still be cool. But I think if it was me, there would be no chance I'd get on a plane to go there.
Yeah, me either. I'd have to hear that. Who knows what you're coming back with, if you're even coming back.
And I really want to go to Brazil, ironically. I wonder how we're going to get this sort of information as someone who likes to travel post-Olympics world, because that is not some place you really would want to be, including the Zika.
Yeah.
You got a nasty power punch happening here between Zika and the water, and it's amazing because they've known they're going to have the Olympics in Rio for, what, 4 years now, if not more?
A long time, yep.
How does this not get resolved? It is really it's definitely going to mar the Olympics to a degree. I think when it's all said and done, you'll get your nice stories, you'll get your nice competition. But I think at the back of everyone's mind, or those that are in tune with what's happening in the sports world, are going to be saying, like, what the heck is this? Like, this, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of great stories and plenty of great competition and this and that. And then on top of that, then you have the Russia situation, which is an entirely separate situation, albeit severe as well. So anyway, you got a big mess happening in Rio. That kicks off on Friday the 5th, which will be this Friday. And just the one other thing, you know, regarding the golfers not going there, Roger Federer also just pulled out of the tournament sometime this week. I don't know that he cited either of those things. I think it was more like his body and needing a rest and, you know, he's breaking down and all this stuff. But I'll tell you what, man, for something that used to be all amateurs and then they were seeking stars and stardom in the event, all of the stars, I'd say all of them, most of them won't be there. A situation with Usain Bolt and I think it's his hamstring, and then you got Team USA, which I'd like to think will carry the flag and do it the right way, given what they're doing to the competition. But, you know, all in all, I always look forward to the Olympics, Drew, and as much as I am looking forward to it, I can't be left wondering if I will be completely and utterly wasting my time watching any of it.
Yeah, it's a shame with all these negative stories between, like you said, with the Russians and the virus and the border and everything. And, you know, if we didn't have any of these issues, we'd be having all these people going over there and competing for our country and, you know, really seeing what we could do. And it kind of cheats us, the fans, and it cheats the Olympics out of, you know, out of quality competition because of all this negativity. It's the first time that I could ever remember, besides, you know, wartime issues with the Olympics and whatnot, we've had this series of issues that were causing concerns for people and taking the names out of it. So definitely a first for a lot of people.
I think, you know, it's funny. I think about the Olympics, and I know that, you know, Muhammad Ali recently passed, and whenever I think about the Olympics, I always see Muhammad Ali with the torch. I don't know why. Like, if I close my eyes and think about the Olympics, that's the thing I see, is I see him kind of geeking out from his Parkinson's with the torch in his hand. Maybe because we saw a lot of that fairly recently. But I wonder if we get anything like that. You know, the idea of the Olympics is to unite the world. Maybe it'll stop people from shooting up clubs and blowing each other up. But I think that's why the subject matter that we're discussing is so important, is the idea around the Olympics is to unify the world, and we currently live in a very divided world. And I don't think I think a lot more good, but maybe not given circumstances.
That's another issue that really hasn't been heightened because of, you know, security. If all these issues are the way they are right now with negativity, what's the security?
There's another one that,
you know, from terrorist threats and stuff like that.
The security is an issue right now also. It's funny, I actually forgot that one. They do have a bit of a security issue too. And I think they just changed something with who they're letting. Like, I think it was going to be a private firm, and now it's going to be the cops or something like that down there. But it sounds like they're undermanned as well for this.
Yeah. That's got to be a level of concern too, especially like you just said, with all the BS that's been going on in this country and overseas with ISIS and all that, you know, terror stuff. Who's to say people don't feel safe? And it was another reason why they weren't going to go over there and, you know, use the Zika virus as an excuse or something like that. And it's a serious thing, man. It's got to be pretty scary. The unstableness of the security over there. I mean, that'd be one of my main concerns for sure. Look, forget about the Zika virus. I'd be more concerned about the security.
I mean, I feel
that's
like
the biggest issue.
I think we should be concerned about all of it.
Yeah, you're 100% right about that.